This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Richard Lane. How are you, Richard?
Hi, Chris. Fine, thank you.
Excellent. Excellent. Where do you live, Richard? You're in the UK?
I'm in the UK, Chris. I'm down in Farnham in Surrey, which is sort of on the edge of Surrey and Hampshire, about an hour's drive or train ride southwest of London.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you're just in the sort of area where they're doing a lot of, there's a lot of English vineyards and all that sort of stuff kicking off.
Absolutely. Quite a lot around here. Surrey Hills, Sussex, not too far away.
I'm normally one of those terrible cyclists that you guys hate. The locals hate the cyclists because we block up all the roads.
I'm usually one of those as well. I sit, because I've got a tandem and I sit on the back of the tandem and I take up a lot of space on the road.
Oh, nice, nice. At least the locals get annoyed with the local person. Brilliant. What we want to talk about today, Richard, is we're actually recording this over Zoom. That's why I wanted to find out where you are, because I can see you, but strangely enough, you can't see me because you are a blind person and you're studying the WCT Level 4. You've done the Level 2, 3, and now you're doing the Level 4. Is that right?
That's right, Chris. I mean, just about, fingers crossed, to complete the diploma. I've completed 5 of the 6 modules in the past year and a half. We're supposed to take the final big one, you know, the still wines of the world theory and tasting.
Unit 4, isn't it? That's the one.
Unit 3, D3 they call it now. D3. Supposed to take it in May, but of course COVID put paid to that. So we're just crossing everything because we're supposed to be taking the exams at the end of October. And with COVID, you know, getting worse and talks of lockdowns and stuff, we're all a bit concerned, but I'm reasonably confident the exams will go ahead at the end of this month.
Yeah, I think the government's obsessed with keeping education running. And yeah, because WCT is part of an Ofqual qualification, it can be classed as an educational provider.
Absolutely. It's not exactly the hospitality industry. This is serious academic stuff, Chris, as you know.
Yeah. So you as long as the schools stay open, you'll be good to go.
Yeah, that's it. So fingers crossed that'll happen. And if, assuming I pass, then hopefully by the beginning of next year, I'll be diploma qualified.
Cool. What I want to talk about is just a little bit about what it's like being a blind person, because one of the problems I can see is I spend quite a bit of time teaching Level 3 students to look at the colour of the wine, and then if you see any brown on the rim, then you know the wine's probably got some tertiary aromas, and if you haven't got any down on your paper, you've probably made a mistake. So we use colour a lot, and also the depth of colour tells people a wee bit about the climate or sort of the aspirations of the winemaker, but you can't really see any of that.
Correct. So,
are you fully blind or just partially blind?
No, I'm effectively totally blind, Chris. I've got a little bit of light perception out of my left eye, but nothing useful. And I can't see colour, I can't see shape, I can't see letters, and I haven't been able to see for nearly 30 years. I could see quite well for the first 20 odd years of my life. I'm in my early 50s now. So yeah, yes, I've had to adjust to becoming blind, although that was quite a long time ago now. But also since I've been in the wine world, which is only 4 years actually, you know, I've had to work out the best way of doing it with WACT. And I've had to have lots of conversation with them as to how we do it. Because I'm not, for example, in the tasting exams, no one's allowed to tell me the colour of the wine. I don't get given those points. I've still got to write down the intensity and the colour of the wine, even though I can't see it.
That is tough. That is a bit mean, isn't it?
but I am told whether the wine is white or pink or red.
Yep. Have you, just out of curiosity, do you make that mistake very often?
Actually getting the wine colour wrong?
Yeah.
No. Yes, I have made the mistake definitely before, particularly if I've had a cold red wine and I think someone's told me it's white, and I think, hang on, is it really a white wine? Anyway, but yes, you could be confused. I mean, I don't confuse it very often. And I don't stress about it in the exam because at least I know in front of me is a white wine or a rosé wine or a red wine. Mm. What I'm not going to necessarily get are the 2 marks for obviously the intensity, light, medium, pronounced, or the actual colour, you know, ruby or gold for if it's a mature white wine or whatever. But I obviously use my other senses, particularly my nose and my palate, to help me decide what the colour is. So if I'm tasting a red wine and it's got lots of tertiary development, you know, I don't know, supposing it's a Syrah or something from the Rhone Valley that's got lots of kind of leather and meat and mushroom and savory stuff going on. I'm thinking this is a pretty developed wine, so I'm going to have a punt, and I'm going to suggest that might be garnet rather than ruby. Do you know, I have to hedge my bets like that.
Yeah, no, that's fine. It's funny because I come at it from a different point of view. I get my guys to look at the colour, and then the colour tells you if you're expecting more primary and than tertiary, or more tertiary than primary, or just all primary.
That's interesting.
Because you work in reverse.
I work in reverse. And funnily enough, with the tutors, and I've been studying at WACT London for my levels 2, 3, and 4. And funnily enough, I don't know whether it's just because I've been in the room, but they hardly mention appearance at all. I mean, clearly you've got to look at the appearance, but they don't dwell on it.
Mm.
And they don't make a big deal of let's try and work out what the wine is by what it looks like. The appearance is something they think you've got to do, and it's 2 marks on every tasting paper, obviously, out of 32, 33 marks per wine. But they don't stress about it. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, sometimes I get it right, sometimes I get it wrong. If it's a pretty young white wine, Chris, that's not particularly, and, you know, that's not particularly funky, it's going to be pale lemon. The chances are it's going to be pale lemon.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know, I can kind of square that off. And as I said earlier, unless the wine's really developed, then I'm probably going to put medium ruby or deep ruby or something, and depending on what the fruit profile's like or something. So ultimately, I'm going to lose the odd mark or two, but they do give me extra adjustment time in the exam because I can't use a pencil and handwrite the exam. I have to do it on a computer, unlike everyone else who has to write their exams with pen or paper. So I have to use the WACT college laptop, which has to have the software on it that's called JAWS that reads everything back to me. And so, you know, I have to take my exam in a different room. So there are some adjustments made. So I think overall, I'm not badly off.
Yeah, no. It's funny you say that they don't make a big thing about colour. I know a lot of lecturers don't. I do. I go on about colour quite a lot because it's such a hint to what to expect.
Totally. I mean, think about it. You know, if you had a really beefy wine with a red wine with lots of high tannins, and it was kind of palish colour, and you could just see that pale colour, you'd be going to Nebbiolo, wouldn't you? Totally straight away.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to have that clue. But then if I get those fierce tannins, I'm going to think, I think it's Italian. Maybe it's taste. You know, sometimes red Italian wines have that slight bitter herbs kind of thing going on. I think that could be Chianti, because Chianti can be quite fierce. But tannins with Nebbiolo, you know, and Barolo and Langhi di Nebbiolo and all that stuff. God, they could, you know, they're pretty fierce sometimes. And I'm hoping that my palate will tell me that those tannins are Nebbiolo.
Yeah. Do you look at the tannin structure quite a bit? Because, I mean, I look at the tannin structure. In the old level 3, we used to have to define tannin structures and all that sort of stuff. Now we don't need to worry about that. In the diploma, do they still look at the tannin structure and you can use that quite a lot?
Yeah. I mean, definitely. I mean, for tannins in level 4, in diploma level 4, you obviously have to do two things for red wines. You have to say what level are the tannins and what nature are the tannins.
Yep.
And again, and that's 2 marks, like it is with appearance.
Yeah, okay.
The 2 marks.
That's the way the...
And that's it. So the question is, what level are they? And obviously, are they really coating your mouth? And are they really doing that whole thing with your tongue at the back of your teeth? If you're getting a really serious coating, obviously that can indicate their high level, but also then the nature of the tannins. And we talk about this a lot, and a lot of people get really confused about tannins. Mm. I don't want to sound like I'm an expert, because I'm not. I'm still a student. Haven't passed my exams yet, but yeah, we're trying to not stress too much about it. Are they ripe tannins or are they unripe tannins? And if they're unripe, you know, they can be a bit unpleasant. So
astringent, yeah.
Yeah, astringent. So unless they're really astringent and sticking out quite often, they're going to be ripe tannins. It's just a question of whether they're high, medium plus, medium minus, or low. And if it's Nebbiolo, it's probably going to be high level. And if it's a reasonably mature Barolo, you'd like to think it's going to be high levels of ripe, firm tannins or something. Yeah.
Obviously, because you can't read the textbook, and the new syllabus for the diploma is all about this online textbook. You actually don't get a physical textbook. And they've got a new textbook. I read an article you wrote a year or so ago, I think it was, about how they had to convert everything to a Word document because the PDF files didn't work. I don't really understand the details of it. But under the new syllabus and the new book, can you just start listening to that and you're away? Or
yeah, in a nutshell, Yes, and so now that's why since August 2019, when the new syllabus came in and the new ways of learning, the new e-books started, and the e-books have just been updated as well, came in. That for me, that was brilliant, because obviously I read, because I can't read print. I don't read Braille, in case people are thinking, does he just print all the books out in Braille? Because, God, the D3 Wines of the World book, I mean, the Bordeaux chapter would be about a room full of Braille.
But, yeah, Braille's not very dense, is it?
Yeah, exactly. But I don't read Braille, but I use audio. And audio means either an actor reading an audio book, but we're talking of a different type of audio, which is using a screen reader, something like Jaws on the computer, or just the iPhone. Most iPhones, smartphones, have a voice function if you switch it on. And I just switch the voice on. And it reads it back to me. And so, yeah, all the diploma books from August 2019 came online. So I can either read online. I've also cut and pasted the text, so I can read them on my computer as well, which enables me to make notes and do my flashcards and my little things I use to help me revise. So, yeah, so it's actually been really, really helpful, because before the e-books came along, everything had to be back, reverse engineered out of PDFs back into text files, into Word documents. And the guys at WACC London were fantastic in doing that for me. But God, it was a lot of work. But now it's all available electronically for everyone. It's much easier.
Okay. I know that's quite good. I know as an APP, we've got to be quite try and be as accommodating as possible with people who needed additional support for things like Braille, or dyslexia is quite a common one where we give people a little bit of extra time in
extra
the
time,
exam.
That's it.
Yeah. In the exam. It mainly seems to be just extra time that I've seen. Whatever your problem is, you just get a little bit more time rather than something really useful.
You get a bit more time. And I have to say, on one hand, people could think, wow, lucky you getting extra time. Yeah, absolutely. But also at the same time, when you can't see, in my case, and you're having to listen to your notes and organise your notes on the page, plus you've got to fiddle with the college laptop. You can't use your own laptop for obvious reasons. There's quite a bit of getting used to it, sort of thing. So quite a lot of the extra time is just being comfortable and not feeling stressed that the technology or your disability is putting you at a disadvantage. I think it's pretty fair overall. Yeah.
To be honest, most people, I don't know about the diploma, but at level three, if you're an able-bodied person, time isn't really an issue. So even if they made it so that time wasn't an issue for you.
And definitely for the theory and diploma, which I say is the difference with level three, is because you need to know so much more for the diploma. I mean, golly, they say 500 hours study time for the diploma. I feel like I've spent 5,000 hours on it. And it might be something to do with my age, because it's quite hard learning stuff in your 50s. It certainly gets harder each decade. And I hadn't done exams since I started doing WACT exams level two, 4 years ago. I hadn't taken an exam for nearly 30 years since my uni finals, and it's quite weird to get back into that. But the thing about diploma is yes, you've got to know the facts, but you've got to select the right facts and answer the question properly in the time you've got available. And that's the difference with diploma, because you could write probably all day long if you wanted to, because you've probably accumulated so much information. But it's about selecting the right information and putting it across in the time that's available. That's the difference, I think, between level three and diploma.
Do you find, and this is a little bit of a sort of stereotype, but people often say, if you lose one aspect, whether it's sight or sound or smell or whatever, the others sort of crank up to take over. Do you think that you've got a better sense of smell than other people because you don't rely on your eyes as much?
It's a really fair question. And I honestly think, Chris, the answer is no. I really don't think my nose or my palate is really, I think I've got an average palate. It's got better because I've been practicing more. Absolutely. I'm a better taster now than I was 6 months ago. And that's one of the good things about lockdown and having the exams postponed from May. I've had more time to practice, particularly as I lost my sense of smell because I think I had COVID back in March.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, my God. I can just imagine all these people studying for years and years and then they lose their sense of smell because of COVID.
Yeah, yeah. No, not kidding. When lockdown started at the end of March, I was getting still hoping just thinking the exams would still go ahead in May. I went to smell and taste a white wine from Greece, Assyrtiko, that lovely white wine from Santorini in Greece. taste it, I thought, oh, bugger, it's off. It's just really unpleasant. What a strange smell.
No, I think that's what people say about Certico.
Well, that's what I thought, Chris, till I then opened a Zinfandel 2 minutes later from good old California. And guess what? It smelled and tasted exactly the same.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
So my smell and taste... I went for a Burton, and so I was therefore quite relieved that the exams were postponed. But the taste buds went for, and smell and taste went for a month, and I would have had them back in time for May. And I think they may have come back a bit better, weirdly enough, unless I'm just tasting better. Mm. But anyway, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, okay. No, that's interesting. Some students really panic about being able to smell things. They really worry about it a lot, particularly when you get some guy in the class. Because I remember sitting in class in London Bridge, it wasn't quite London Bridge, it was before they moved to London Bridge, but sitting there and they had a guy in class and he could smell everything. And when I say everything, I mean stuff that I wouldn't even think there was you could get in that wine. And the lecturer eventually thought he was full of it. But
wow. And was he full of it? Or did
yeah,
he just
was.
Have...
No, he was full of it. But I found it for the first couple, two or three days, I found it very disconcerting because I couldn't really, you know, if you don't have a trained palate or you haven't thought about the smells as much, it can be quite hard to find things in wines. And I just thought I was hopeless at the stage because
me too. And I still feel that, Chris, sometimes you get some non-aromatic, neutral white wines, kind of light or medium minus or medium intensity, and you give them a sniff. Sometimes there's not much there, is there?
No.
It can be really, really hard. And I just sometimes find it's the palate and the nose working together that gets you there, isn't it? Sometimes it can't just be the nose in isolation. I find once I've tasted a little bit, then I've really got the olfactory bulb going, because if you're sniffing while you're tasting as well, that can help you smell it. So I think sometimes that's a good technique.
Yeah, no, definitely. In terms of your experience doing this course or any other courses, how have you found it, the general logistics? Because, you know, you've got to be up and down cleaning your glasses, emptying your spittoons, all this sort of carry on. Has it been okay? Have they been? I imagine they're trying to be as accommodating as possible, but...
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, they know me pretty well up at the London School. I've been rocking up there for the past 4 years, going through the gears to diploma. But it's not just the staff, all of whom individually have just been brilliant and helpful. But it's my I've done all my classes in class, all my tastings, all my sessions. Obviously, the theory work and some of the tasting goes on at home. But I basically went for the classroom option, and I did block classes where I just take a week off work and just do 5 days concentrated study in the classroom. Stay up in London logistically, so I wasn't traveling up the whole time, to make that life a bit easier. And then and both semesters I did, semesters one and two for the diploma, just delightful compatriots, students, you know, whoever would sit next to me would just be my buddy. I remember on level three, this guy, I've forgotten his name now, he's just so nice. He just used to rinse my glasses and top up my wines. So at the end of the course, I took him out for dinner to say thank you. And then ditto, semester one, sat next to Sandra. Hi, Sandra, if you're listening, lives in Bucharest. She's from Romania. She was my buddy and she was always rinsing my glasses. And ditto, semester two was Rita, who is Hungarian but lives in London. Hi, Rita, if you're listening, sure you are. People just take care of you, and people just automatically offer you their elbow and guide you around. Obviously, that's still fine with even post-COVID now. People are still giving me their elbow, so to speak, to give me the elbow to just to help me around a bit. But I'm using my cane a bit more so that people don't have to guide me if they don't want to. And other folk just help do the washing up and stuff. So it seems like a logistical nightmare, and on the face of it, it could be. But it's all about having the right outlook, and I'm a reasonably positive person, apart from the night before an exam. And I think people realise I'm positive, and they help me, and I try and help them back. You know, sometimes they'll say, Richard, they want to ask me a question. They might want to ask me about Southwest France because I lived there for a year. So wherever possible, I'll try and give something back.
Yeah. Okay. And what are you hoping to do with it now, Richard? Because you know, do you think that the wine world is open to you as who you are, or is there roles in there, or you just love wine and you just want to learn? You know, crucify 2 years of your life to learn more.
Yeah, well, it's certainly been a slog, and I think I think WSET, some would say, the life-changing diploma, level four. It certainly is life-changing because it's quite a slog. But no, seriously, I set out on this wine journey, Chris, doing level two, because I wanted to know more about wine, like lots of people. And then I thought that was it. And then I thought, I don't want to do level three. Someone said, oh, level three is a big step up, which it is from level two. And as soon as I stopped doing level two, I thought, I really want to do level three, because level two I found frustrating, because level two is about learning stuff. It's not necessarily understanding why. And I wanted to understand why, because I'm curious. So I did level three. Then my wife and guide dog and myself went off, had a year off, went to France. I went out to France in a wine region, Bergerac, near Bordeaux. Tasted amazing wine, met loads of winemakers. I thought, I need to know more about this. Rang up WSET, said, can I do level four? Yeah, when are you back from France? So enrolled with level four. So now back to level four. I now realise, Chris, this, it's a bit of a cliche. A lot of people have written it and said it, but you know, the more you know, the more you learn, the sort of feel, the less you know sort of thing, or the more you want to know. Mm. And that's where I am with diploma. So, because I've got this passion, and I love communicating, and I love group work, and I've loved the sessions in class, being a student. What I really, really want to do is to become an educator. And that's totally possible, being blind. I won't be able to spend much time like you do talking about the colours of the wines. But hey, I can get students talking about the colours of the wines.
Yeah, and there's some good there's good materials to help with colours. If so you probably don't need to do it yourself. I mean,
we'll work that out. But the rest of it, of course, there's so much more to wine than just just the appearance. But it is weird, because I have to remind myself it's 30 years since I could see a wine label. So I find that's quite exciting. You know, you're looking at reading about some of the funky labels and that's going on, and look at stuff that's going on with Provence Rosé and all the funky labels and bottle shapes and colours of glass and all this kind of stuff. That kind of amuses me, because ultimately, Chris, I want to taste it. I want to smell it. I want to taste it. And there's so much time, particularly in the rosé world, being taken up by the appearance. Oh, people are forgetting what the real thing is. It's tasting it.
Yeah, well, yeah. Sometimes rosés don't have a lot of complexity, let's just say
that. That's right. That's right. So let's talk about what they look like and how beautiful life is, because actually quite often the wine's quite boring.
Yeah. Okay, no, that's brilliant. Okay then, Richard. I think what we'll do is we'll leave it there. But you mentioned you went down to Bergerac. And next week, I think what we'll do is we'll have a bit of a chat about your experiences in Bergerac, because I was planning on talking to you about Bergerac, so I've been reading up on Bergerac on all my big, thick Jancis Robinson textbooks that are sort of doorstop thick, and there's like three paragraphs even in those books. So it'd be good to get some decent information on a region which I haven't been to Bergerac. I've been to Cahors and I've been to Bordeaux, so I've been all around it, but I actually have never been to Bergerac. So next week we'll have a bit of a chat about that.
Great, Chris. Look forward to it.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate.